want you to turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. We're going to talk about the accuser accusing God and man. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I want you to notice, I believe it's verse 2, that Satan questioned the word of God. And then Eve went into defensive mode for God. Have you ever had that happen where somebody accuses God and you feel like you got to defend him? You got to explain for him? I'm just showing you where it started. I'm just showing you the pattern. Okay? Satan questions God's word. And then we go into defense mode trying to defend God as if he needed defending. And then the devil outright accused God and said, what God said is a lie. He said, you shall not die. And then he brought forth part of the truth and said, because the truth, what he said there was, God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then shall your eyes be opened, and you shall know good and evil. That was true. God bless you. That was true. The problem is the devil was, tempting, touching our base nature. You know, wanting to know things that, wanting to touch things or know things that are not for us. Turn to Job chapter 1, verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, talking about his children. So here's Job, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. You want to raise your kids so that they love God. You want to bring others along into the place where you are with God, where they would love God. But Job, being a realist, said, here's my kids, and they may have cursed God in their heart. And so Job kept offering for their sin. Job kept making sacrifices. Job kept trying to do whatever he could to make them right in the sight of God. Verses 9 and 11, Job chapter 1. Then Satan answered the Lord. And I think it's quite noteworthy if you look at the verses right before that. It said, when the sons of men came to present themselves before God, Satan came among them. We've had people come into our assemblies that were witches, warlocks, snakes in the grass, whatever. And then God exposes them. Often they flee. They get exposed. But that's not where I'm going. We're talking about the accuser accusing God and man. Yes. Yep. Yep. Verse 9 through 11. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." I want you to notice Job, God's testimony of Job. "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, one that escheweth or hateth or departs or has nothing to do with evil?" And he goes on about him. And then notice the devil brings forth the truth and says, but he brings it forth as an accusation. He says, "Does Job serve you for nothing?" He said, "Look what you do." He said, "Because Job's made this choice to follow you, have nothing to do with evil." He says, "You've made up a hedge about him. You made up a hedge about his family. You made up a hedge about his house. You made up a hedge about everything that he has. I can't get to him." Is that true? The devil was ticked off. I don't like other words that people use instead of ticked off. But the devil was ticked off because he couldn't get to Job. We are made in the image of God. We're a reflection of God. He hates God. So therefore he hates us because we're in the image of God. And then we can release God. God can live in us and through us. God can touch and rescue other people. God could bring other people to truth. It's the truth that sets you free. And as we embrace God's ways, God's thinking, as we follow God's word, it's like we shut down all the entrances where the devil has had access in our lives before. We take away his license. We take away his permission to mess with us. The devil is accusing God here. "Look what you do." "You're not playing fair. You're not letting me be able to get to Job." He says, "But I'll tell you what. You touch him, he'll curse you to his face, to your face." The accuser accusing God and man. Look at verses 20 and 22. 20 through 22. "Then Job arose and rent or tore his mantle, his clothing, and he shaved his head." Can you picture this? He goes, shaves himself bald, not like he was trying to make it all pretty or something. "And he fell down upon the ground." And what did he do? He worshiped. And what was his worship? Here's his worship. You ready? "And as he worshiped, he said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither or there. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" And in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. It's at this point I want to read something that I sent to some people this week. Right now as a church, we don't know where to go, nor do we have clarity from the Lord as to what he's doing or where he's moving us. But we know this is him moving us in that direction. I think of Hebrews 11:8. Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. He was walking with God. It was more important to be with God than to know where he was going. So God is moving us in this direction. His ways are past finding out, but God can be trusted completely. He is faithful. He is good. As a matter of fact, God defines good. We have 2 to 3 places to look into. 2 of them are other church buildings. I don't even know if we have that, but we haven't had time to contact them yet. Right now, we have to walk in the light he has given us. That is to move. So we are making preparation and plans to do that. More light will come as we walk in the light that he's already given us. It is hard. It is very hard. But only if we look at the circumstances or try to understand what he's not telling us right now. Did you just hear what I said? You might want to memorize that. It is very hard, but only if we look at the circumstances or try to understand what he's not telling us right now. He is building faith in us. The test is, what are we going to think about him during this time? Are we going to be like Satan and be an accuser of God? Are we going to take a truth that God is moving us? We don't know where he's moving us or what he's doing right now. You see, instead of looking at, I like something my wife said this morning, instead of looking at that we are losing the building, we need to look at it as he's taking us somewhere. And where's he taking us? I don't know. But if he's taking us, then that means we're with him. All we got to do is be with him. Does it matter where he takes us?
No.
I mean, does it? You know what? For a little while now, I've kind of been tired of church the way we've been doing it, because it's like, I just felt like something needs to change. But I don't know how to make it change. I don't know how to do different. I remember when he first told me years ago, he said, can you imagine what church would be like if I was in charge? I'm like, no, I only know how to do Baptist services, and I'm tired of them. I don't know how to do anything else. But if you'll teach me, I'll let you do whatever you want, but I don't know how to do anything different. I said, I'm just as dumb as everybody else. I just do routine. I do the same thing. We think we're supposed to come in a building. We're all supposed to sit down. We're supposed to hug each other, tell each other we love them, love each other when we don't, spend time with each other, but we say we do. I said, and then we go through our little routine of stand, sit, kneel, sing, listen, repeat, up the priest, stand, sit, kneel, sing, go home. I said, there's much more to this, Lord. And he's like, you're right. There's much more to this. And I'm like, I don't know how to do it. I said, but if you teach me how, I'd like to get in on it. So ours has been a journey since 1997 when he and I had this talk. Can you imagine what church would be like if I was really in charge? But we want it to all be comfortable. We want it to always be the same place. Some churches, they even put their names on the pews. And they get mad at somebody if they come and sit in your pew. We want everything just to be comfortable. I'd rather everything just to be God. Whatever that's about. Brother Ed goes and people call him and he'll go pick up food. They don't, you know, they call him at 5 in the morning. He doesn't say, could you call me at 9? No, he goes when he needs to, so he could do what God wants him to do. Do you understand? We're looking for comfortability. God's looking for availability. He said, do you want me? He said, because I want you, and I got a plan for you. He said, but you got to lay down your understanding. You got to lay down your rights. You got to submit. He said, because guess what? He said, I'm right. God's right, not me. He goes, I'm right. I'm eternally right. He says, and if you want to get in on that, you got to take your hands off the steering wheel. You got to be willing to follow. It's not always going to be comfortable. He says, what if I say to you, hey, let's go up to the mountain and let's have all wonderful stuff. Yeah, we like that. What about if he says, hey, let's go to the cross. Lord, that sounds like it could be a sticky situation. Sounds like some pain could be involved. He said, yep. He said, but it's what's going to bring me honor and glory. It's going to bring a lot of people to me. But you have to die. And Jesus said, okay. Did that affect any people? But was it comfortable for Jesus? Was it fun? So is it about our ways or his ways? And his ways don't make sense to us a lot of times, do they? Because we can't figure it out. You heard about the little boy, his grandma was putting together a quilt. I think it was a quilt or whatever. And she had a loom. You know what a loom is? She's weaving this thing. And he's sitting down on the floor, and he's looking up. He sees all these little knots and threads. And he goes, Grandma. He said, what are you doing? That doesn't look very good. It's all kind of ragged and doesn't make sense. You know what she said? She said, you're looking at it from the wrong side. So he came up, she said, come up here and look at it from my perspective. That's a beautiful picture. Well, we're on the earth, and we're looking at the tapestry that God's weaving called life. And we don't understand it because all we see is the little knots and the threads hanging down, and it doesn't make sense. And he says, come here. Come see from my perspective. I've got this beautiful picture. I'm after souls. I'm after John. I'm after Glenn. I'm after people. He said, it's my life. He said, it's not all man's way of doing things. But the devil wants to take all that stuff that we don't understand, and he wants to accuse God to us. Have you ever found yourself blaming God or questioning God? Anybody in here honest? Blaming God, questioning God? Well, you have all the power. Why don't you just do this? You could do this. Why don't you? The devil. We're in Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 22. 20 through 22, we just read that. Look at chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Chapter God gave permission to the devil. He allowed him on a short leash to do some things in Job's life. You say, well, look at all those things he did in chapter 1. And God said, spare his life. God said, you can only go this far. God was working in Job's life. God works through circumstances in our life for his purpose. For his purpose. It's not about being happy. I hear the world all the time saying, it's about being happy. Well, if I can be happy, and that's why they just live for pleasure. Because it's not about us being happy. Joy is a whole lot better than happy. Because joy has contentment and fulfillment. And you can't even express it. It's so awesome. But happiness, you have some little happy spots in your life. You got to go on a thrill ride on a roller coaster. Whoa, it was all wonderful. How'd that help you with your life? I mean, really. Okay, you got to have a little high spot, a little laughing. Oh, did that feel good? Wasn't that wonderful? Does that help us? I mean, if you're just living for happy, you can live for happy. But God's got a much deeper thing for us, and the devil doesn't like it. So the devil accuses God. Chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Verses 9 and 10. Then Job's wife said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Do you know what integrity is? Anybody want to? Do you know what integrity is? Dude, I love that. I love that definition. Doing what's right even when no one's watching. I have people that I've trained in my business, and they do what's right, but when I put them out there on their own, they cut corners. They don't do things. They don't tell the customer things I want them told. They don't give them a warranty. They don't mask off some things, and then we have overspray, and then I got a problem. I got an unhappy customer because they cut corners. Integrity, doing what's right when no one's watching. I'm sorry, I got caught up. Then said the wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Now this is Job's wife. This is Mr. and Ms. Job that goes to church. And the woman says, why don't you just curse God and die? It don't make sense. Look, your whole body's full of sores. We lost all our kids. We lost all our money. We lost our church building. And I'm mad at God. Why don't you just curse him and die? But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What? Now get this. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? What's he saying? What he's saying is, whether it's good or bad, God is good. No matter what happens, we don't understand it, but God is good. God is good. God is good all the time. He defines good. We want everything to only be good. Can I ask a question? Do you like it when it rains? Okay. You'd rather it rain all the time? Okay. Do you hear what he said? You see, there's people that I hear them, they complain because it's raining. If it didn't rain, nothing would grow. The showers bring flowers. We have to take the good with the bad. It's not fun going outside and getting all soaking wet. It's not good you're at the store and you don't have an umbrella and you walk outside and it's pouring rain and You got to get somewhere, so you run out and you get all wet. But the storms, all the things that happen in life, we have to take the good with the bad. Is God fickle? Or is He the same all the time? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Believe it's Malachi 3:6 or somewhere, and it says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God doesn't change. He's good all the time. Good all the time. But the devil wants to accuse him. It says, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. We can have thoughts inside of us, but we need to adjust them and remember, God is good. That's what we need to speak. Ask Him to forgive us for those thoughts we have. Realize those thoughts were not God. Those thoughts were against God. Those thoughts are suggestions of the enemy to destroy us. I wrote it this way. Let's see. Maybe I didn't put it in here. I thought I did. Maybe I put it in another one. I put, Satan's only power is a suggestion. And the only power he has in our lives is when we consider, when we listen to and consider his suggestion. What do we think on? You really ought to go look at Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What do we think on? Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Which one? 26:3. So we're in Job 2. I got a whole bunch of verses. Don't know what time it is. 10:30. Okay. Let me read some verses about the trial of your faith. Job 1:22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. When you don't understand, do you blame God? When we don't understand, do we blame God? Do we question God? Right. And shame on us. Because God didn't change. I still remember that cartoon. The guy's out in the boat in the middle of the ocean. He says, why me, Lord? And God's like, do you want a list? We get less than we deserve. But if anything happens we don't like, man, we're going to blame God. But when we get good stuff, we don't always thank God. We don't always attribute the good stuff to Him. Give me a second. Yes, sir? Somebody was calling me. I figured it was about coming to church, so since they told me they'd be here. Job 2:10. We're talking about the trial of your faith. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Are we only going to get good? That was one thing that I had a problem when I would watch, like, Christian TV. It seemed like it was always positive, positive. You're a king's kid. You're just going to get blessed. Everything's going to be good. My Bible says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What they did to the master, they're going to do to the servant. It's not this fair weather, everything wonderful, get saved and everything's all wonderful. It's like God's going to start dealing with you to discipline us. Discipline isn't fun. But if we're going to be a disciple, a disciplined follower, we're going to have to go through some things because our wills need to be broken. Not my will, but thine be done. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, I'm there. Except when... everything isn't just going to be good. You could be doing exactly right, like Job. You could be doing exactly right. God says, there is none like him in all the earth. And yet Job still had the devil come against him. And all these things happened. He lost all of his kids in one day. I think he had 10 kids, if I remember correctly at that time. 10. All died in one day. The enemy came in and stole all. He was very rich, and he lost all his riches in one day. The houses that they had, the storm came in one day. All of it, all of this in one day. And he would have servants run and tell him the bad news, and before that servant could get done talking, another servant was coming and would tell him the next bad news. Before he could get done, another servant was running, telling more bad news. And Job was overcome. God didn't just say, he didn't tell us to just go, oh, well, God's good. No, he knows we got to go through stuff. He was mourning. It said he tore his clothes. He shaved his hair off and probably didn't go to a barber to do it. Just, you know, and it looked all kind of, you know, like a cancer patient or something. And he fell on the ground and he worshiped God and said, you know, I came in this world with nothing, and when I leave, I'm going to have nothing. Bless your name, Father. I trust you no matter what. I trust you no matter what. I don't understand why we're losing the building. Neither do I. What does that matter? I don't know where are we going, Pastor. I don't know. We're going wherever God wants to go. He ain't told me yet. Right now, all I know is we're supposed to get out of here. If you look around, all the paintings are gone. This week, I brought maybe 200 apple and banana boxes. My wife's been filling them up. I've been taking them out of here. A lot of this stuff's going to be thrown away. Some stuff's going to be stored. We're going to have to move it. We need help. Is this your church?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
We need your help. Or maybe I'll give you my help. How about if you take care of it? And I'll give you my help. Okay? I'll just sit back and not do anything. You make the phone calls. What I'm saying is, we're trusting God. And it's like, what are you doing, God? And he's like, just walk with me. I'm like, okay. See, we could read these little stories in the Bible about people are out in the boat, and the wind comes, and we're going to perish, Lord. We're going to die. We're out here in the water. You ever been out in the water in big waves? You ever? Man, I remember the last time I was in Myrtle Beach. I was hugging the toilet. I was wishing. I told God, please, I would rather die. I don't like this. I was, and I'm just, I didn't enjoy that. Just had somebody this week ask me, talking about going fishing. I said, that sounds real fun. He's telling me all this. He says, do you get sick in the boat? I said, not when the water's like this. I said, when the water's like this? Yes. We can read that story, but what about when it happens in our life? What about when our boat is being turned upside down? What about when circumstances are coming against us and we don't know? Are we going to be like Job and, I don't know, but I trust you because you're good? I trust you? How do you think that our faith gets built? I'm glad you asked. Let's keep reading. James 1:4. 1:3 and 4. 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. Let God have his perfect work. Complete work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. How do you think you're going to become more like Jesus? By going through these things his way, with the right thinking. Are you with me? James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Tempted to blame God, tempted to question God. For when that man is tried, I mean, he's gone through the trial of being tempted, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, I have faith. We don't know that you have faith until it's been tried and see how it works out. See how you respond when you're going through the trial. That the trial of your faith, God says, he says, to me, it is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. He said, though your faith be tried with fire, fire burns up everything that's not eternal. Might be found, that your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm excited. I am. We need to praise and thank him. Job 1:20 and 21. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped and said, naked he worshipped. That's the point. He worshipped. He just went through real hard stuff. Lost all his kids. Lost all his possessions. Lost his house. Where to stay. The only thing God left him was a nagging wife. Well, thanks, Lord, for that. And he goes, I'm going to worship you because you are good. It doesn't matter what I see. You are good. It doesn't matter what I feel. I know what I feel. And God, I'm coming to you. I'm going to get to know you as the comforter. But even though I feel all these things, I'm not living by my feelings. I choose to trust in you. I'm going to lift you up. So praise and thank him. Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isaiah 24:15. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's the will of God? In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Thank you, Lord, that you're moving us. Thank you, Lord, that we're not going to stay in this building. You have something different for us. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Lord, we get to move. I don't know what that means or why, but there must be something in this. I can't wait to get in on what you're up to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I told my girls, are you ready? Here's what I told my girls when they were growing up. John, you're going to do the dishes anyway. You could do it with a good attitude, or we can have us a board meeting. I told the girls, girls, you're going to do the dishes anyway. You might as well adjust your attitude. I love what this little brother said to me. I say little because he's a little bit bigger than me. I love what this little brother said to me that day. He said, Pastor, he said, when I go to get on the bus, he said, I realize that I have to die to me in order for the people on the bus to see Jesus. So he adjusts his attitude. If you don't like your life, there's a better one. It's called Jesus' life. But you have to lose your life to find His life. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not ours. And He's going to walk us into it one step at a time. Who wants that? Okay, here's how we're getting there. This is His plan for us. This is the last thing. What we feel while we're in the trials. Psalm 32, 3 through 4. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, I felt like, God, your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Think about that. That's how we feel. The feelings are true. What I'm saying is that they're true feelings. We just need to take them to God. We all go through the same thing. That's why I'm reading this, letting you know. The feelings are real. The way you get to know the God of all comfort is to run to Him when you need comfort. Tell Him the truth. God, I feel like everything's dried up. I feel all these things. And God's like, yep. And He's like, I will comfort you. Yes, I understand. But will you trust me? For thine arrows... Your arrows, God, stick fast in me, and your hand presseth me sore. Did I tell you Psalm 38, 2 through 7? Psalm 38, 2 through 7. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. I can't even... find the surface. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my own foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. What do we feel while we're going through trials? Psalm 39:10. God, remove thy stroke away from me. This blow, this thing that's coming at me, remove it away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. I'm going to die. Psalm 89, 38 to 52. I feel like you've cast off and hated me. I feel like you've been mad with me, and I'm your anointed. You've made void. I feel like you've made void the covenant of your servant. I feel like you've gone back on your word. I feel like you've profaned my crown by casting it to the ground. You have broken all my hedges. The enemy's getting in at me. You have brought strongholds to ruin. I'm not even going to read all this because it's too long. I'm going to remind you of this. What we're going through, the test is, what are we going to think about God during this time? What are we going to think about God during this time? Do you want to get everything got the benefit of going through this? Do you want to get everything that God has for you? The same thing we always tell you. Be a participant, not a spectator. I know it's easy to want to go. Because this is how I feel. I want to go sit somewhere and just say, Sue, tell me when it's done. I can't just put all the burden on Sue. I need to keep praying. I need to keep believing. I need to keep confessing. I need to keep thanking Him. I need to keep believing. God is good. God defines good. He's got a plan. All I want to do is be with Him. It doesn't make sense. I don't like the way it makes me feel, but I'm not living for feelings. It's not about me being happy. It's about me being with God. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. What's your purpose, God? I want to mature, not be a little baby, go hide, pout, blame God, be like the enemy. See, when we blame or question God, we've taken the position of the accuser. Now we're like the devil. We've just joined his side. Whose side? Here's a line. Whose side? Who is on the Lord's side? This is the way Moses said it. Who is on the Lord's side? What's the test? What are we going to think of God during this time? What are we going to think of God during this time?